Much. No cookies, but we got auditory delights. So, Neon Jazz, Neon Jazz meets Neon Beat for Neon Talk, episode 16. A day full of ones. 11117.
Okay, now that you got all the nomenclature in there, we can get serious and track some old Monkees albums. What do you say?
Let's do that. Mickey Dolan, where you been my whole life? I remember that Brady Bunch episode.
Okay, wait a minute. Where? Oh, okay. Wait, you know, I don't play that.
Just thing. Run the monitor. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. All right.
Okay. Let's go.
Kind of comes out backwards on the screen, doesn't it?
No, unless they have a mirror up there. You guys gonna
just something I noticed last time we streamed.
Yeah, I think we might have to. Maybe we have to get a mirror and reverse everything.
I don't know.
So. God dang, this is a great album. This, my friends.
Yeah, I'm. Shut up.
Shut up and sing, folks. Shut up and sing.
Oh, this is a groove, baby.
This is
all right,
a groove.
Tell us about it.
So this is an actual recording that I went to, and Mr. Chris Hazleton, Hammond B3 player, with a great lineup of cats: Nick Howell on trumpet, Nick Roland on alto and tenor sax, Brett Jackson on the baritone, Matt Hopper on guitar, Danny Rojas on the drums, and the great Pat Conway on the congas. I was there for this recording. This was done pre-World Series, and if you talk about a cool joint to go to, a cool time, it was right before Game 1 of the World Series when we won at 15, and these guys were smoking. It was live at the Green Lady Lounge, one of the preeminent jazz clubs in Kansas City, and this is a vinyl recording, and it's beautiful. These guys just nailed it.
Yeah, you can. I don't. Can they see the see this thing spinning back here?
Let's see. Hold on.
Just to let you know, I'm actually doing this off vinyl.
It's actually off vinyl. Yeah. So if you were wondering if it was real deal or not,
it is. Oh yeah.
A little more. Man, I'm telling you. And this is the hip shaker. Hear that crowd in the background. That sounds good.
Is this recorded at Green Lady?
This was recorded live at the Green Lady, and it was put out
here in Kansas City at 18th and Grand, right?
Yes, 18th and Grand. It was voted as one of the top 10 jazz clubs in America for good reason. And that's the feeling when you walk in this place. It's packed. There's people everywhere. Red velvet, big gold frames. You got just ambiance. It's oozing with ambiance. It's almost like you walk into a different era. I mean, if there was ever a romantic notion of Kansas City jazz with Pendergast in the day, this is the place you run into. And this is the joint to go to, man. This is where live jazz takes place. And the Kansas City scene is always full of talented cats, and these guys and the Boogaloo 7, they know what they're doing.
One of the things that amazes me about some, and I'm not trying to knock specific radio stations here in the Kansas City area or any of the streaming outlets, this sort of thing, but I get to talking to, this is hard to walk all over. It's just so good.
It is. It's, but you can do it. You can walk softly.
All right. The thing about it is, I talk to couple of radio stations around the area, not only to carry my show but yours,
right?
And what I get is, you know, that era is kind of dying off. Tells me how out of touch some of these decision makers are with Kansas City. Well, we're making so many of the decisions out of the East Coast, Philadelphia, and stuff like that. Folks, this is a jazz town,
right?
For pity's sake.
That's the thing. The one thing you got to understand is go into these clubs when these guys are listening to these guys swing and tell that to them. That's the disconnect between what radio wants to give the people and what the people want to hear. And if you hear something like this, just with Neon Jazz, even the Neon Beat, there is an there's a modern era going on, and there is an older era that's coming together so we can see the evolution. Yeah. And it is truly one of the very finest music formats this country has ever invented. I just can't... With all the manufactured music and all of the things that are going on in music, it's refreshing to hear something like this. I just can't imagine that radio can't, especially in Kansas City, can't pick this up on a full-time basis. If Portland, Oregon can do it, I think Kansas City can do it.
Yeah, I've told of a number of Kansas City's kind of a weird market for radio.
Yeah, it is.
I've had a lot of people that came here tell me, where is the, not just where's the Miles Davis, but where's the Henry Mancini? Why doesn't anybody play Frank Sinatra anymore? And of course, I direct them to my show on that area.
Right.
But, you know, I'm only on for, what, 6 hours every Sunday on a signal, frankly, that doesn't have a lot of market penetration.
Right, right.
But not to bite the hand that helps me out there, and I'm very appreciative of it. But I'd like to see a 50,000-watt AM-er pick it up because this music still works on AM.
Well, I think the one thing that we can put out here right now to the people is if anybody has any spare lottery money that you want to get rid of, you want to set a station up, I think we got some good air that we can put on your waves.
That's for sure. And all these HD signals, you've heard of these.
Yes.
It's kind of a misnomer because you're... HD, of course, means high definition, and it more came through TV.
Right.
But you've got high definition radio, which is a digital form of radio that rides on the analog FM signals in a market.
Right.
Okay. Not a lot of people are buying them.
No.
Because frankly, most of us really don't know that it's out there and available to them. And I don't know that I've gone into a department store or a Radio Shack and found an HD radio of you.
No, I haven't seen anything like that. The only thing that I ever find when I go out there is old coffee mugs at a thrift store. That's about it. Maybe a good shirt.
It's my kind of shopper.
I like it. And I'll tell you what, one thing real quick, and we're not going to listen to it right now. Speaking of thrift stores, this here, my friends, this is Star Wars done by a Moog Electric Orchestra. We're going to do that next week.
I remember that album.
My God, this thing, I tell you what, I love the Moog. I love Star Wars, and together, it sounds wrong, but it's right. It's not necessarily jazzy, but it works.
Wendy Carlos goes to the movies.
I love it. So real quick, one more time, and I got something else I want to bring up, but I want you to know this is a very deep plug for these guys. Soul Jazz Fridays at the Green Lady Lounge. Chris Hazleton, Boogaloo 7, they are killing it. They did kill it. They did it live, and now on the Waxy Grooves, it spins into infinity, and we love it around here. So... the one thing I did want to bring up under this bed of very groovy, cool music is this week I was playing Miles Davis's Kind of Blue. And boom, boom, just the whole beginnings of the piano and bass start sweltering up. And our dog Shootles, a mix between a lab and a Dalmatian, started twisting the head back and forth. And I got to actually see the beginnings back and forth. What is that sound? It the beginnings of this seminal album that sucked so many people into the jazz world was happening on a dog. It completely freaked me out. I'm going to produce this piece. It's going to be a finished piece, and I'm going to show you, but you can see the dog's head go back.
Oh, you'll put it on your website?
Yeah, and I'm going to put it on this finished piece that we're going to do, but it's profound, and it's one of those moments that I was like, oh my God, a dog gets it.
I used to have a cat. Uh-huh. That if I put on something too dissonant during my classical days, when I'd put on Shostakovich or something like something, some angry Russian, okay, she would the hair would sort of prick and she'd leave the room.
Oh no!
but if I put on Joseph Haydn or Beethoven, she'd sit there on the carpet and just kind of close the eyes between the speakers and actually listen. You could tell it was moving her, but dissonance, no, didn't care for that at all.
No, it's not going to happen.
No, but frequently the use of dissonance is for something unpleasant in abstract art, so you could say in one way or the other the cat gets it.
Yeah, right. Well, animals do get it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this was when the bass and the piano came together, Miles comes in with the trumpet, and then once Coltrane starts with the sax, the dog goes to sleep. Happens every time. I did it 3 or 4 times just to verify that head was going back and forth, and then that was it. They were out. And it was beautiful.
Nothing to do with what was in the Alpo.
Yeah, right. That had to do with the food. The food was safe. But which reminds me, one more thing I wanted to mention real quick, and we were going to do this last week. I wish that Radiohead would produce a jazz album.
Yeah, I wish they would too.
Couldn't you see them do that?
Yeah, I could.
It's in their chops, man. So, anyway, that's one of my I might write Tom York and say, dude.
Okay, yeah, that's your pedestal for the day.
And the rest of it,
let's just climb up on Martin Scorsese's head with the pigeons there in the park and sing it out.
We want jazz Radiohead style. Yeah, it could happen. You got a dream, man. That's the only thing you have. You have a cup of lemonade, and it's either half full or half empty, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I was saying to somebody here the other day. You know, I love music. It's great, a great gift given to us, because sometimes words don't get it.
They don't get it. No. It's funny. One of the things that I do part-time is I write feature stories for the Jazz Ambassadors magazine here in Kansas City.
Right.
And the one that I'm doing this month, I'm not going to give anything away, is a musician here in town who said to me, as we were speaking about something that's rather profound these days, which was race relations and kind of the social hierarchy of things that are going on, he said he produces music because there's things that words merely won't get across. And music has always been the unifier. And in all these interviews, when I talk to these guys, that is the common thread that goes through everything. If you can't understand language, you can understand music, and it always soothes. I mean, a lot of these guys, even in the 60s, when they talk about music, it's like that was the one thing that everyone could agree on, was that they could listen to music and they could be happy and go on their way no matter what was going on.
Yep.
And that's it. That's the reason why I think we do what we do. We get that audio canvas and we just start throwing the words and throwing the stars.
Well, I'm no Edgar de Varèse, but I kind of think of it in terms of colors and emotions when I hear the various... do you?
Yeah, absolutely. When you close your eyes,
Yeah.
That's why I write these scripts the way I do. They're audio explosions over your brain. There's all kinds of good notes floating around, and they take color. We think in color. We think in scent. I mean, the olfactory is the reason why we respond so well to things. So,
yep,
it's good.
All right, we'll let her close her out here right quick, and as we like to say in the jazz business,
enjoy the music, my friends. Thank you, Chris Hazelton. Boogaloo. Carry on, my friends. Enjoy your life.
Neon Jazz.